So you got Tekka this weekend.
Yeah, so that's a big game, bro. So
yeah. What pos are you?
First five fullback, but I fractured my leg last week, eh? So
Are you kidding?
Yeah, so 6 weeks, but I thought it was gonna be worse. I thought it was like an Achilles, eh? But it was just like a fibula or some shit. So
fractured sucks. Leg, 6 weeks.
Yeah, right. It's the non-weight bearing one, so like the non-weight bearing bone, so it's not as bad as the main one. And like even at training on Tuesday, I was doing the old running and like trying to kick on it and shit.
Because
I wanted to play. Yeah, those ones, bro. So trying to be the hero. Trying to be the hero, but yeah, then got the X-ray back and was like, fuck, the wife wasn't impressed, eh? So
wait, you got the X-ray after you were trying to run on it?
Yeah, bro, I went the day after and she was like, it turns out I did it in round one, so I played twice. And she was like, how long ago did you do this? Because it's already healing. And I was like, oh, yo.
You're kidding, bro. You played twice with a fractured leg.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll be good to go in like another 3 weeks or something. But
and what, you just thought it was
a strained calf, like doing the old rub it out pre-game ones. not ideal, eh? So yeah, shouldn't have pushed through, but you live and learn. Stupid things you do for footy, eh?
That's all right, bro. Yeah, that's all good.
How are you boys looking this year?
A lot better, bro. A lot better than last year. It's pretty frustrating last year. I only joined them like sort of towards the back end of the season because I came back from Oz because the season got cancelled.
Yeah.
But from what I was a part of for that last bit, it's frustrating, bro. But teams looking a lot better this year, a whole lot of new faces, clubs changed a lot. So
yeah,
that's I'm on. Keen, bro. Keen for the season. I'll make a quick shout out to our sponsor, G. You waiting for your little package to arrive?
Bro, I'm excited, eh? The missus really rates them. I've never tried them, to be honest, bro. But everyone, all my mates who have really rate them, eh? So I'm keen as.
Bro, they're gonna they're blowing up, bro. They're gonna be massive, I reckon. Do you know the science behind what it is?
Yeah, I've checked them out on Instagram a bit, eh? Yep. So it all sounds like unreal.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. Like obviously it's healthy. Tastes nice, and it's got L-theanine in it, so it's like a mental clarity drink, basically.
Yeah,
helps you think clear when your brain's fatigued or you're under stress or pressure. But the All Blacks are using it at the moment, so
yeah, that's mad.
Yeah, and they just partnered up with the Hurricanes, and so it'll be good to once you're back from your leg, give it a crack, bro. Smack it before a game.
Yeah, hard. I'll wait till she's healed, eh? But if it's good enough for them, then it's good enough for me. That's for sure. Yeah.
And another one I've found it works is before you hit a potty, bro. You smack a potty. When you smack a potty after you've drunk those, you're zoned in and you don't forget what you're going to say and things like that. Now that I said that, I'm probably going to forget what I was going to say at some point.
Hey, it's all good. That it'll elevate the chat for sure.
What was that, Jay? Like right now? Oh, yeah. We'll do it quickly. I'll just do a quick intro for the vlog. Yo, welcome back to the vlog. We've got our man, Ben Surlon, Surly's Talk Sports. We're going to chew the fat, chop it up. Show him, bro. Get the man on here. Get the man on the vlog.
Yo, the debut.
The debut on the vlog.
Let's go. Up the waz.
See. She got my hand on it. Up the waz, bro. Tell me about that. Oh, sorry. Let me just say, use the promo code 138 online for the Arepa, and you can get 20% off online, or you just click the link in the description. Try and support the boys, support the podcast. But yeah, bro, tell me how that came about. That's fucking hissing.
Yeah, it's unreal, eh, bro? Yeah, basically just had the idea for a while, so just pitched it to the club, and they were actually really keen on it, which was cool. Especially while the boys are based over in Aussie, just thought it was a mean idea just to kind of connect with the fans back here, because obviously we all know, like, Warriors fans, they're next level diehard, eh? So
yeah.
I think they've really been missing just not having the boys here and being able to go to games. So I was kind of trying to think of, like, a cool idea, the next best thing. So just pitched it to the club. They were keen, and I reckon it's mean just, like, I know we get the same stuff from the players every week in press conferences and that, but they're actually keen to talk about more stuff on a deeper level if they feel, like, relaxed and all that. Yeah. And I'm sure you've found that as well. So it's just mean to see another side of the boys, and the feedback from all the Warriors fans and that has been awesome. So yeah, it's been unreal, bro.
So what tell me, like, how you actually approached it. Like, what did you do? You went to the club, and what did you basically say to them?
Yeah, I just basically said that, like, I'm a big fan, and I want to come at it from a fan's perspective and provide some content that I personally would like to see. So basically just said, like, I'm for the boys and for the club. I'm not there to stitch anyone up. I just want to talk to the lads, especially, like, some of the new boys. You know, we've got quite a few Aussie lads in there who have never been over to NZ. And I think at times a lot of the players cop some fair criticism, eh? But I think if people get to know them on, like, a personal level, they'll be a bit more forgiving, because obviously it's a tough job week in, week out, and you can't always be on the top of your game. So if you can form a bond with the fans, then I think that helps on that level as well. So you just went to the club, and they were really keen on it. So it's been unreal, and just, like, chatting to guys like Reece Walsh and that, eh? You can't help but be a little bit nervous, but
it's
been sick just getting to know the lads a bit more and just hearing their story, eh? Because everyone's got a different path to the team, so it's been cool.
How crazy is it that you feel nervous to speak to, like, you know, an 18, was he 18? 18 years old?
Yeah, bro. Oh, unreal. One of the biggest names in the game, but, and, like, you hear how confident he is from everyone, but talking to him, like, such a humble dude, bro, and he seems like so much older than what he is, like, the way he talks about the game and everything. So, really been enjoying it, eh? Even dudes that I didn't expect to have the biggest of yarns to, like, have really opened up and had some good chats. So it's just been cool for me, even. Like, I've been enjoying it as I'm doing it. So it's more like it's fun for me as well, which has been sick.
That's awesome. I want to listen to that one. I haven't listened to it yet. But do you find when you're recording with them at the moment, and, like, even I notice when I get, like, sports players on, like rugby players and stuff, there's that sort of, like, media trust issue kind of thing at the start. Not so much, like, they don't trust you, but, like, the way they talk, it, like, kind of takes a while to open up, so they're actually talking a bit more normal, you know, just because they're used to talking to the media.
Yeah, bro. You can tell some boys more than others, like, have their guard up a bit at the start, but always just give them, like, a little brief run through that I'm just a fan and I'm for the boys and I'm not there to stitch them up. And, like, if I ask, I try not to ask anything, like, too clickbaity or anything like that, because I'm not trying to get, like, headlines out of the boys. I'm more just about, like, how the season's going at the moment, and then more kind of, like, their journey into league and into the Warriors. So I often find, like, when it comes to talking about themselves, they're a bit more open, you know, like, rather than, like, plans for the future or, like, anything that's kind of a hot topic at the moment, like, haven't brought up, like, the refereeing calls or anything that's going to get them in trouble, you know, because, like, try and avoid that stuff. But yeah, just basically explain that I'm for the boys, and they seem to open up, especially after the first couple of minutes. So,
well, you're not a player for the Warriors, so you can answer that question. The fuck you think about that reffing situation?
Bro, to be fair, like, you get used to it after a while, because it seems like it's been like this for so many years. But on the weekend, man, like, that ruined my Easter weekend, eh? I was salty the whole weekend, bro. And then, like, the whole apology midweek makes it even worse, eh? Because it just brings up the old wounds. But,
man, so they apologize. The weekend...
Yeah, the referee's boss just came out and said that, like, a few of those calls were wrong, and which is cool, but, like, also it kind of, like, it's too late. The game's gone, and, like, I feel like we've heard that quite a few times, but on the weekend was another level, I reckon, bro. Like, there were three or four calls there that just took us out of a game, in a game that I thought we deserved to be right in the mix for. So that just made it more frustrating, eh?
Because I was talking to my mum, and because she loves the league. Her brother, my uncle, played for the Warriors for loads of years. So I've come from a league family. I said to her, like, oh, I noticed that so many people have been posting about it, that it's, because I didn't actually watch the game, but so too many people posted about it for it to be like, the refs, you know, like, they were like, I saw it on your story, and then I saw it on the comments on the final score result, and I saw a headline. I was like, Jesus, there must have something actually gone wrong here.
Yeah, like, you try avoid talking about it because you sound like a salty, like, broken record, but I think the weekend was one that you just, like, couldn't go past. Even the Aussie commentators, and normally, like, they're pretty against us and they kind of call things more for the Aussie sides, but even they were blowing up, eh? So, like, it's always a good indication. Like, that Blocker Roach, the big boy, normally he's well against the Warriors, eh? But even he was giving it the big ones, so I was like, shit, that's how you know.
Yeah. Are you playing fantasy? Oh, I see you were.
Yeah, bro.
How's your fantasy going?
I sucked, eh? I made the, like, rookie in the fantasy world for NRL. Love the NBA fantasy, but made the mistake, bro, of drafting Tommy Turbo. $1 million. And then, first, second week out with injury, made him the captain, put the weight of the shoulders on him, eh? And then... just the curse of doom, bro. So that really, there was half my budget gone, eh? I had all these scrubs around them, but I'm bouncing back now, bro. I had Talakai in there for this week.
Bro,
I don't know.
How did you pick that? Wow. What the fuck? Well, you just rate him as a player?
Yeah, and then 106 points last night. I was like, holy, that guy's a menace, bro. I don't know how you can tackle him. Like,
was he, I heard he was on something ridiculous at halftime, though.
Yeah, like 96 points. He'd already scored two, set up two. Like, he was a freak, bro.
Fuck.
And, like, apparently he used to be, like, a binman and stuff. Like, he's got an unreal story, bro. Like, he wasn't wanted by the Roosters, was a full-time, like, garbage man, running behind trucks to keep fit and that. And now he's, like, full State of Origin contention, like, just ripping it up. So,
holy shit. You had a yarn to him before? You should get him on the potty.
Nah, but, yeah, he'd be unreal, bro. He's probably... like, cracking it now, eh? Probably everyone wants to yarn to him, but what a beast, bro.
So many posts of him last night, like, everyone saying new owner of the Manly Seagulls and shit. Yeah,
that was crack up, eh? And, like, I saw dudes being like, oh, you got to go low on him. I was like, man, have you seen the size of his legs? Good luck, bro. Good luck.
What's your favorite Warriors player that you've potted so far?
Yeah, a few people have asked that, bro. It's actually really hard, eh? Just because, like, they all have different stories that are all, like, pretty unique, and it makes it quite interesting. So, like, I'm old friends with Sean Johnson, like, kind of grew up with him. So, always enjoy having a yarn with him, and, like, just his whole story, come back to the Warriors, like, coming back to play in New Zealand later in the year, like, his family's here and stuff. Like, that was real cool to hear. Yeah. But then even, like, guys like Ash Taylor, like, you hear so much about him from, like, his time at the Titans, and often, like, you haven't heard much from him in the media. It's just other people talking about him. So, like, to hear him talk about his career and, like, his ambitions and how much he just loves footy and even being a part of the Warriors, like, that was real cool. So just hearing dudes that you don't hear from in the mainstream media as much as those superstar guys has been real cool as well. I reckon Jesse Arthurs was a sick one. Like, didn't know he grew up in the Coromandel. Like,
Did he? Yeah,
played league up on the shore for East Coast Bays. Like, always a Warriors diehard. Was at the grand final where they lost and was staying at the team hotel and doing passes with Sean around the pool, like, as a little kid. And now they're teammates together. Like, just shit like that, that, like, you wouldn't know unless you spoke to them. Like, I just assumed he was an Aussie lad, you know? So,
yeah.
It's like those hidden stories that are so sick. So it's been mean, bro. Every dude's been different, but they've all been, like, cool in their own unique way. So
fuck, Jesse Arthurs is a good looking dude too, eh?
I asked him about it because that Bloat FC, he got left out, eh? And there was a bit of a bit of a campaign to get him in the mix. He reckons that he wasn't robbed. He reckons Chanel Harris-DeVito was robbed, but
that's the humble ones. Being
that's
humble.
A fair shout too. Hey, him and Reese Walsh are like twins, bro. So
yeah. Jesse Arthurs and Jordan Ricky, bro.
They're
some damage, man.
Yeah, they're mates too, eh? So I can imagine they're a bit of a duo. So.
Yeah. Fucking ripping up Brizzy. Bro, what actually got you like into podcasting? Like, why'd you start?
It's pretty random. I've actually I think it was back in 2017, ages ago, bro. I was just at footy one night with all the lads, just, you know, bantering as per usual. And one of the boys was like, man, you should start like a group on Facebook, like a closed group with all the lads where you just chat shit about sport. And it was kind of before like podcasts were like really big. So it wasn't a podcast so much, but like I used to just bang out the old headphones, and just spin a yarn on voice memo on the phone and then post it in there every week. And it was more like, it's more like grassroots stuff, like talking about the game upcoming on the weekend and just like talking about the club competition just for the boys. And then, from there, just started adding more and more people to the group because they were kind of interested. They semi-heard about it just through mates. And then kind of like 2019, it turned into an actual podcast. And I thought if it's going to be on like Spotify and that, then I probably need to talk about other things, not just Northcote bias rugby chat, So stepped it up from there, and it's kind of evolved into what it is now just from there. So shout out to the rugby lads, I think they were stoked because they could finally mute me, but.
You pushing far better numbers now?
Yeah, bro. It's funny. Like, you just got to stay at it, I always find. Like, I think it's so, like, there's heaps of people doing content now, but if you can kind of stay authentic to yourself and just have like a vision, and I think sticking to it's probably the hardest bit, but it does pay off eventually. And all you need is like a couple breaks, and then you get your exposure up, and then it kind of goes off from there. So,
and consistency, I found like when you're consistently uploading and you make sure you stay like the same thing though, like staying in it, that helps, you know, that helps your drop, that helps your numbers, and that helps people stay on you because it's like they don't kind of forget about you and you kind of drop off the radar sort of thing.
Yeah, big time. I used to do it like and have like a couple months off when footy wasn't on. But like you notice that like then it takes another couple months when you start up again just to get everyone back on board. So it's definitely helped like diversifying, talking about like NFL, basketball, UFC, all that kind of stuff, because those sports don't really stop, So that's definitely helped. And yeah, like consistency. I'm lucky in some terms that it's just me like doing my weekly one. So like it's all on me really. Like I don't need anyone else to also be available at a certain time or anything like that. So that's helped with like the consistency. But yeah, definitely just bang a coffee, get up for it and spin some yarns.
Do the Warriors compensate you at all like for doing that stuff for them?
So Ortex sponsored the podcast, which is awesome. So obviously they're one of the main sponsors of the Warriors, and like the owner of Ortex owns the Warriors, so they just thought that it was like another cool media outlet channel for them, something a bit different. So that's been cool, and like it's mean just to have like an actual sponsor of the team on board. So yeah, it's been sick working with them.
You're going to be at that, you must be going to be at that game, first game, home game again.
Oh, bro, I'm thinking of doing the old pitch the tent out the front ones, I can't wait, bro. It's going to be
on the sideline, won't you?
Oh, that would be the goal. Hopefully, if the Warriors are listening, surely. But nah, that would be unreal, bro.
Surely
but,
they'll get Surly Talks Warriors in the changing rooms. You've got to be.
Imagine the pregame speech, I could get in there, rev the boys up, like do the old hit the head against the changing room wall ones, Put Holy the body on the fuck. Line.
That would be so mean. If I could get that on video, bro, I'd watch it on repeat every time I play a game.
Right, I can't wait, But actually going to Magic Round over in Brizzy, bro.
Oh,
so
how good.
Yeah, so that'll be sick. I think it's in like, a couple weeks now, so that'll be unreal going to that Saturday one, and then I think it's Warriors, Rabbitohs, and then after that it's Storm Panthers, so hissing.
You know what would be cool to
pitch to the Warriors, bro. If you end up going into the shed or on the sideline, you pull us up there with you, and we'll go. Surly takes us through the first Warriors home game, and we'll vlog the whole thing, bro.
Wow, imagine it. That would be sick. I can't wait for that though, eh? Like the fans, like it's gonna be packed, like the atmosphere. It's probably gonna even be like a bit emotional, eh? Just because it's been so long, bro. And I think like the players and that are gonna be so fizzed up for it. So
imagine when they run out, bro. It's gonna be crazy.
Oh, bro, hearing those drums and then the old savage freaks run out the tunnel like they always do. Oh, those trumpets. It's the only time I listen to that song, eh? But it gets you going at Mount Smart, bro.
How did you sort of, how did that George FM thing come back? So what's the situation there?
Yeah, so that's like another one. I'm actually friends with Sin Howard, who does the George FM drive show.
Oh, yeah.
And like was just yarning to her a couple of times. She listened to the podcast and she was saying like how she loves it and she's not like a crazy sports lover, but still listens to it for like sports and some of the humor. So she ended up forwarding it to the George FM Breakfast Lads, Tammy and General Lee, just because she thought it would be a good fit for their show. They listened, liked it, and now it's kind of turned into like a regular Friday morning segment, which has been awesome, bro.
It's like cool.
Like podcasting's unreal. Live radio's like a whole different buzz, eh? Like,
yeah.
Just the, I think like the pressure of knowing like that what you say at the time goes straight onto the air. Like, there's no editing, and then like before you're on, there's like some mean like dance music. Like, just the whole vibe in the studio's unreal, eh? So
that's been
real fun, bro. And yeah, I'm stoked that it's like kind of developed into a regular thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Tammy and that are great lads as well. So there's always some good banter.
Do they know roughly what sort of like numbers they get listening to them at one time?
I think they would know. I'm not sure, but I know that like that 7 till 8 in the morning on breakfast is real popular because it's like people driving to work, like they get heaps of tradies, you know, on site firing up for the morning. So So I think the numbers on George would be pretty good, eh? I think like News Talk ZB and that still dominate, eh? Just because of that demographic listening to the radio. But I'd say the numbers would be pretty mean.
Yeah, I could. It would be pressurizing, bro, just to know that, yeah, what you're saying is literally coming to people at that time, at that live moment, eh?
Bro, it's pretty weird. Like a lot of the times you're talking and then it finishes and you leave and you're like, what did I actually say? Like, and then you check your phone and everyone's like, oh, that was mean. And you're like, oh, relief. Cause you're like, well, I could have said something completely random there and have no idea. Like the moment just kind of get taken away. And then you're like, oh, what did I actually say there?
But how long do you do it for? What, an hour?
Nah. It's just normally like one or two segments, bro. So it's quick. It's like 5-10 minutes. But it's like mean fun and then you just hang around a bit after and just like chill with them. But no, they're legends, eh? It's been a mean gig, so.
That's awesome, bro. Have you live podcasted before?
Nah, I haven't, bro. But I'm definitely want to do something like that in those spaces, eh? So
yeah.
I imagine that would be pretty similar, Buzz. So.
Yeah. Do you do any face-to-face podcasts?
Nah, so I haven't. Yeah, I've had like over lockdown a couple of years ago, I did some stuff with like over Zoom. That's kind of where it all took off too, with like Joe Parker, Kai Carter France, those kind of guys.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, bro. Like that very first lockdown, I was able to talk to some unreal dudes, eh? So that was mean, but I've never done it like face to face. I reckon definitely better if you can, just because like the engagement between you is so much more natural, but. Hopefully I can run this back with the Warriors again next year when the boys are back here and kind of step it up another level. That would be the plan. But
that'll be cool, bro. Live face to face.
Yeah, bro. And just like, you know, on a couch, like chill vibes, but just some good yarns. So.
Yeah. Cause I noticed as well, like when you do podcasting face to face as opposed to a Zoom, yeah, like you said, you read each other. You know, you read each other's body language and the conversation obviously is face-to-face, so it's more flowy and it's not like through a screen. That would take your body to the next level, bro, if you were doing those.
Yeah, and it's mean too. Like you can gauge the reaction from them more. So like when you ask certain questions, like you can even do it through Zoom to an extent, like when you talk to them about their families or like if they have young kids, like you can see their face light up. And I think like in person, you'd be able to expand off that so much more. Cause obviously you want to talk about stuff they want to talk about. Cause then you see the real side of them. So definitely think face to face, but Zoom's all good for now. The only bit where it's awkward is if like, if you think they've stopped talking and they haven't, you go to jump in and like say something and then you start talking over each other. You both stop. And it's like, oh, damn.
I was literally going to say that, bro. That's I've said that on someone else's podcast about a Zoom before. It's like, you'll be like talking and then they go to talk and you're like, like get both at the same time.
And then you do the old, oh, you go, bro. And they say that at the same time. And then you're just like, you low key feel like just hanging up and starting again, eh? But you're like, you're like, right, back on track. That can rattle you a bit, eh? But it's also pretty funny if you can just have a laugh about it. So
for sure. On that, do you have what's your biggest sort of do you have podcast advice like to people that run a podcast themselves? I'll give you an example of something that I've taken out of Joe Rogan's podcast is. I go into every podcast with no script, no nothing, nothing written down, not really even a plan of what to talk about, just so it's real natural, which is obviously a bit scary but like you get used to it and back yourself in a conversation. But I'll always have a piece of paper next to me sitting here. So I've got this here. And as you ask me questions, as you're talking and I think of a question, I write it down. Just so I can refer back to it as opposed to interrupting you go, I'll just hold you there. And because even if I try and remember it in my head, I find that I'm trying to say it over and over in my head and I stop listening to you.
Yeah.
Do you have something like that?
I definitely find the less scripted, the better. Like if you can make it a conversation, then it just allows for so many more avenues to take the podcast. I think if you're stuck to like a certain script, then you're going to be real set in your ways. Another one, like I reckon we already spoke about it, but just like having a vision and just backing yourself, like, you know, there's like heaps of people doing cool stuff out there at the moment, but if you can find a lane that you think you can do something different in, provide some value or some kind of entertainment, and then just stick to that. I reckon it's so tempting to be like, oh, this guy's doing this and killing it. Maybe I should try do that. But if it's not like authentic to you, then people are going to see that pretty quick. Like if I tried to talk about a topic that I don't know much about, but it's real popular at the time, like I'd crash and burn hard and people would be like, oh, this fella's just read it off Google kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's good. Like if there's something you're passionate about, try stick to that and stay authentic and just keep grinding. And eventually, like if people like your stuff, then it'll pay off eventually.
I like what you said there around people seeing that, because it's very obvious, eh, when someone's not raw and authentic. Like if someone's not being authentic, you can fucking see straight through them, you know. But I like that. Have you got any NRL predictions for the year? Like for who you think's gonna take it out? I don't wanna hear the fucking Warriors if you don't honestly believe they're gonna win.
I honestly believe they're a top eight side. I'll say that much. Like, I'm not big on this whole it's our year stuff. Like, I don't like it because it's just turned into like a bit of a joke almost. And like, I get why people think it's funny because it's been said for a while. But like, even like talking to Sean, he was like, please don't say it's our year. Like, because it's like, it's become like a genuine joke. But I do think that they're a top eight side, bro, just from like what they've shown this early. I think their defense has been unreal. And like, again, talking to like Walshy and that, he was just saying that like they're just scratching the surface with him, Sean, Chanel as like that combo. And like there's some freakish talent there. Like once that clicks, you'd have to think that that's up there with some of the best combos in the comp. But in terms of other teams, bro, I think like the Panthers are unreal. Like they're the one team that I'd hate to play more so than the Storm. Like, of course, the Storm are unreal. And every year they're one of the top sides. But I reckon the Panthers right now are just by far the scariest team. Like Nathan Cleary, man, he's got that ball on a string. Yeah. I think I saw what, like, they're like 20 games in a row at home now. They haven't lost.
Holy
dates back to like end of 2019. So imagine rocking up there, like full house, going against those young lads, and even just like the swagger they hold themselves in, like mentally rocking up to play them would be a real mind fuck, eh? So
that's what you call a fortress, bro. Holy shit.
Bro, haven't lost literally, in 20 games. Literally. And like when you look at their names on paper, but there's some kids there, like the actual kids, they're still like so young. So like what they could be in 4 or 5 more years time, like Cleary just re-signed, like they've got the base there to be an unreal team for at least the next 5 years if they can manage the salary cap. So like I reckon they're the big one. And then what, you got Melbourne, and I've been impressed as with Cronulla this year as well. I think who's the top in the final? Three. Right now, probably be Panthers and Storm, but I'd have Cronulla as a side that could upset the Storm to make it.
Okay. We'll snip it high on the Roosters.
I was high on the Roosters in the preseason, bro, but to be fair, like they haven't quite clicked yet. They're still winning like in arm wrestle games, which is a mean sign for them. And like Joey Manu's an absolute freak. So like they are definitely a contender if they finally like click. But I think those top three sides at the moment are at that next level.
You know what I noticed about certain players, and I was talking to Devontae, who runs our Have a Look one here, is that players are like, some players are just unreal players, but like in that fantasy, they're no good, you know?
Yeah, well, like Tedesco, bro, I've seen a stat, like he's like 30th ranked player on fantasy at the moment. And like heading into it, you'd be like, he's what, arguably the best fullback in the game, or regarded as, like, you think he'd be your number one purchase. But if you bought him, you're like, at the moment, you're getting burnt. Like, that's why I'm a fantasy rookie for NRL, like I said. So I've got a bit burnt by just going off the names, you know?
Yeah.
Like your workhorses, like I got that King, the prop from the Bulldogs. Like you'd have to be a proper league fan to know who he is, but he gets me like 50 points every week, and he was like 300 grand, which is like minimum player. Yeah. Like you need those workhorses, bro. Those battlers in the mix.
Fuck yeah, 100%. Devontae's even showing me all this. I'm a fucking absolute, because it's my first time doing like pretty much any fantasy. But like little things like this looping thing. Have you heard about that?
Nah, is this a hack, is it?
Little bit. Like it's kind of like a, where you put, depending on if someone's playing first or not, you can put a player in your emergencies, your first spot in your emergencies, and you can put a player that's not playing in your last substitute spot, and then another person that's playing in your second emergency. And if this guy, the first guy, this is going to get confusing, but if the first guy in the emergency plays first and he has a shit score, then you swap these two out and you'll take his score because you think he's going to get a higher score. But if you think he's got a really good score and you want to keep it, we just leave the dude that's not playing in, because then you get his score. You know what I mean?
Shit, that's actually smart. I didn't expect that from him. That's
bro, you'll be surprised. That dude has just got brains and all the stupidest shit, like fantasy and betting in there.
Hey, nothing wrong with betting, but yeah. Nah, fantasy's mean,
bro. I
reckon you should try NBA fantasy, though, before we move on, bro. Like, that's next level. Like, it's mad. You do drafts, you get, like, a league, like get 10 of your mates together, do like a draft night. You can even do the old dress up ones, bust out the suits, put a bit of a wager on it. Like that's what we do, eh? It's like a $50 buy-in, winner takes all. And because it's like an actual NBA draft, it's so mean. And then you get down to like the bottom players right at the end, and that's where you win the league. Like you got to find those hidden gems. And and they've got like a waiver wire where you can just drop dudes. You can pick up like 7 guys a week, so you can do daily pickups and stuff. It's mad.
Oh, yeah. Are you into NFL?
NFL, yeah, but I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, eh? So won't talk about it too much.
These guys go, Bev and Devontae and stuff go hard on the NFL one, eh? I think they're NBA fans, where they go, I'm a absolute rookie in American sports, bro. Like I love watching it, but I don't know a single player. Like, I know all the big dogs, but like, that's about it. Yeah.
I love the American sports. I reckon they just crack it. Like the way they present it, like the players themselves, like they are so able to show their personalities, like the celebrations, everything like that, like how outspoken they are and like how confident they are. Like, it's sitting back here, like at times it's hard for some people to relate to that. So like a lot of people get turned off by that. But when you look at it like in a different mindset, like imagine being that confident in your ability, and like it's so big in sport over there. Like, there's so many people playing basketball in NFL that like to do it professionally, you genuinely have to believe you're the best in the world at it. And it's mean how like hearing them all talk, like they all legit, even if they're barely coming off the bench, they're all like, I'm the man. So it's unreal.
Bro, I'm a massive fan of how they operate, like in that, but Americans just know how to do it. Eh? They know how to commercialize like everything and make it a spectacle, like an entertainment, because it's an entertainment sport. Eh? So
yeah. Like, and like one thing even on that, like that just reminded me, like the NRL, bro, like the one thing they need to change, because they're starting to get some cool content and hype as well. But if you go post like a try or a clip from a game, they block it because they own the rights. Whereas like the NBA and that, like look at Bleacher Report, those pages, like NBA, it's all free rights, like go hard, because it's promoting their games. Like, I don't get why the NRL is doing that. Because like it could get so many more eyeballs. Like, imagine like Bloke in a Bar, those guys sharing like actual game content. Like, it would be huge. So
that would be massive, bro. That's stupid. I think it's also Super Rugby does that too.
Yeah.
I've tried to post a couple of things, like on our TV page, one of like Danny Tuala scoring that try to win against the Hurricanes, bro. I screen recorded it, put it up, and it got blocked because it was owned by Super Rugby.
Bro, but like imagine like, because obviously like you've got people that love rugby following you, but then you've also got people that don't, but they would still watch it and be like, oh, they might not even have heard of Moana Pacifica and being like, this is unreal. This team from nowhere just got a dub. Like, and then they might tune in next week or pay more attention to it. Like,
yeah, I like that.
It's just smart business, but oh well, it'll happen eventually.
Eventually when someone like you gets in there. Have you I seen you're in the is it TAB as well? So you're doing something with them, podcast or?
Yeah, so just doing like a segment in my podcast where they just get me to run through like some tips for the week of who I think will get up. And then, bro, the meanest thing's been I've had my own power plays for the Warriors games.
I saw so
you click into the Warriors game and it comes up Sully Talk Sports power plays. And that was like, because I love having a punt myself. Like,
yeah,
I was just like, yo, that's mad seeing that. So that's been like cool to do that as well. And yeah, jump on their podcast every so often. Jumped on one last week for the league and stuff. And it's just mean just talking sport, bro. It's just like chatting to all the boys about it. So
you're a massive sport fan, eh? I can fucking tell, bro. You live and breathe it.
Bro, pretty much like, man, I'm always the Sky Go cops are punishing, eh? Like, like even like at the moment, what, there's three games of basketball a day. Like, it's literally like I just put my AirPods in and I might not be watching it, but I'm listening to it. And like, I just love it, eh? But it's one of those things, bro. Like, everyone has their thing, and like sport is like genuinely my thing, which is why I love doing the podcast and that, because like, again, like that's being back to being like authentic and genuine, eh? Like,
yeah,
if you love that thing, talk about that thing. So but yeah, a fair bit of time in front of a screen watching sport, bro.
How many times have you been told that you've got like mad radio voice?
Bro, heaps. And then I take it and then I'm like, oh, are you saying I'm ugly? I got a face for radio too. But nah, but everyone says that, bro. And like, I reckon that's mean, like, because, like, you know, that's broadcasting. That's what talking about sport is like. But like a commentary or something, that would be mad too. Like, sideline stuff, all that kind of stuff. But at the moment, it's all ex-players, which is mean because they have like a mean insight into it as well, into the game, and they've been there, done that. But sometimes I reckon it'd be cool for like a fresh voice in the mix, eh? But
what's your you got a best bet for this week? Best tip?
I was looking at the Super Rugby, and I think the New Zealand teams will at least pick up four of the five, but I don't know if you call it a best bet, bro. I multied all five up, and it was paying, like, head-to-head, it was paying, like, $2.10 just because, like, of how favourite we are for all the games. Holy, it's crazy. Shit. But I think the Brumbies are probably the only side that could win up against the Highlanders because no Aaron Smith, so yeah, that'll help them. But in terms of the league, I always find the odds are a bit closer in the league just because it's a bit more unpredictable, it seems, at the moment. So, yep, like, you can pick up the past few weeks. I've been running some, like, safe multis. I call them safe. Sometimes they're not so safe, but been doing good off there, mate. Just like backing those big teams head to head or 13 plus if they've got an easier matchup, and just like four or five legs and just playing it safe, because for far too long, bro, I was doing like the 10 leg multis of doom, you know, $10, but it's paying like 15k, and you're like, oh, imagine if just one of these hits I'll be rich, and then you probably spend more than 15k just chasing the dream, eh? So scaled it back and gone a bit safer now, especially now people like George and that always get me to do my tips on air, like on the spot as well.
Yeah,
and like realize that you probably need to be a bit more realistic now, because people start putting their money on it, eh? And you don't want to get the DMs of doom, eh? You're getting the death riding.
Bro, Devonte needs to hear that. Devonte needs to hear that. That man, bro, doing the $10, 20K returns.
Yeah, he slipped into my DMs a few times with the old, oh, if only this result went the other way ones, eh? And I'm just like, I'm like, yeah, if only, bro, but they lost by 20, so you can't really say that. But nah, he's the man. He's the man.
Fuck, that's funny. I got Corey Hutterweather-Nider on last week that drops tonight. And he talked about just touching back on Penrith. We're going to talk about that because he was obviously there. He just said they had a coach there that I can't remember his name, but he said his ability to coach culture and stuff was just ridiculous. Yeah. And these boys, pretty much all these boys grew up playing together, and he's like, they've just played together for so long. The chemistry is just so strong because they know how each other play, and they know how to win. He said, like, that's the best way to put it, is they know how to win. They've won the juniors. They won all that shit as well, which I thought was pretty crazy. And like you said, because they're all so young, it's pretty scary.
Bro, you see it, like, coming through your TV screens as well, and, like, it low-key, like, hypes you up as well to watch them. Like, I've never been a Panthers fan, but the past couple of years, like, I find myself always, if I don't watch the game, I'm watching the highlights just to see what happens, because you feel like you know them. Like, guys like Jerome Luai, Brian To'o, like, how they rock up with the boom boxes. Like, even State of Origin, bro, like, that's the game's biggest stage, and you have all these old heads in the league media being like, oh, they're taking it too lightly. But it's like, bro, this is the modern day athlete. That's authentically who they are. And that's like, that's them getting game ready. And it's just mean to see, like, that's more of that American type of athlete vibe crossing over. But, like, you get the sense just watching them how close they are. And, like, they look like you get your sports teams that are mates, and then you get teams that are genuine friends that hang out outside of footy, have grown up together, and, like, have a genuine, like, strong as bond. And it seems like throughout their whole team, like, they're actually all like that, whereas normally you get like a pocket of four or five dudes that have played club footy together or whatever, and they're boys, and then there's another group, and, like, they're all mates, but they all seem like they're, like, genuine, like, brotherhood, which is mean.
And it helps when you're in a place like Penrith, because I heard Penrith is just like, they just bleed league there, the whole community.
West Sydney, like, even like Bulldogs fans and that, like, they're crazy about it, eh? That's why, like, excited for the Bulldogs next year, I reckon, when they get Kikau and Reid Marnie in there, like, a couple big recruits, because I reckon, like, when the Bulldogs are strong and, like, Western Sydney League is strong, like, that's a whole nother buzz just because of how passionate their fans are, and it just adds to the game. But
fuck, that's exciting. Reid Marnie, bro, that's a good pickup for the Dogs.
Dude's a gun, eh?
Fuck, he's wicked, bro. What's next for you, bro? Surly Talks Blues or?
Oh, all right. Do love the Blues. got the saying, up the Blues, they will not lose. And they've been proving me right lately. Hey, they've been ripping it up, right?
Yeah.
That game against the Crusaders, bro, like, I've been watching the Super Rugby, obviously, but some of them haven't been, like, the highest quality of games, in my opinion. Like, it's just so stop-starty. Like, I play Union, but I found myself preferring to watch League just because of the tempo of the game. But I feel like that Crusaders-Blues game was, like, the perfect game to show what rugby should be, like, the tempo of the game. Like Bodie and Richie going at it, like Dalton and Rico saving the try right at the end. Like, that's like the perfect advertisement for New Zealand rugby. So that's got me back hype day. And then, well, this week, Bodie, RTS and Rico together, like, holy. So
that's going to be the Blues
would be mad for sure. But yeah, keep grinding with the Warriors, boys. Still got quite a few more lads in the mix, like, you know, Jazz Tavanga, Adam Fanua, Blake, those kind of guys to talk to. And I think they'll all have cool stories as well. So bang those out, hit up Magic Ground, do the Warriors home game and all that jazz, and just, yeah, keep trying to give the Waz fans some good content, eh?
That's fucking awesome, bro. Nah, that's cool, bro. And you're really – what I love about it is you're really dominating, like you said before, you find your passion, your niche, and stick to that and stick to your authentic self. And I think you're doing that really well, bro. So, but I'm going to be keeping an eye. We'll keep in touch, bro. I appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate your time, bro. It's been a hissing chat, and yeah, no doubt we'll catch up properly soon. We'll catch up in person, bro. That'd be good.
Yo, hard. And like, likewise, what you said about me, bro, I've been watching you for a while too. I remember even like back when you had ice around at your crib, like, I remember seeing all that stuff. So like, been riding along too, and love your work, obviously, with 138 and with the lads spitting some potties out. So keep it up and have to catch up for sure. Have a few beers and some punts, see what happens.
100%, bro. Home game for the Warriors. That might be us. We might have to make the trip up.
Oh, look out.
Shot, brother.
The man.